Yeah. Styling, no. December got pictures with me smiling, no. All the things you need, you still want problems, though. All the things I know, I still been silent, though. Yeah. Used to be at Silver City Indigo. Used to be in lunchroom playing dominoes. I don't wanna have to go to funerals. I gotta start sleeping at the studio.
5, 2, 8, 8, 7, 11, 13, 10, 11, 13, 12, 23, 20, 29, 31, 29, 21, 28, 28, 33. What is all this? What do these numbers mean? These are minutes. These are minutes that Greg Calixt is getting per game. And I don't know if you heard me, but I started in single digits, went into double digits, and then went into significant double digits. So again, Greg's last few games, 28 minutes, 28 minutes, 33 minutes. This is a guy on the rise. Obviously, Paulson loves Greg.
And I love Greg.
I love Greg too.
You're going to hear in this interview coming up, I mean, the guy's pretty candid. You know, usually with freshmen, you kind of have to pry. It was enjoyable.
Yeah.
You'll hear it, but it's not just the minutes. He's scoring points.
It's the production.
Grabbing rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
What have you seen from him early on?
I think what we're starting to see is the rise of Greg, and so or Big Haiti or Cali, whatever you want to call him. But the thing is, we're starting to see him get more minutes and do things with those minutes. So we're almost on the cusp of seeing him get double doubles, and it's going to look like nothing. You know, it's going to be a standard day at work for him. So what we're starting to see is him doing the big things on offense, but also defensively. What game did we see where he was, you know, blocking shots, grabbing
St. Joe's, he had that block to like on the last shot of the game.
Right. And so he's just doing a lot of the little things, and obviously Paulson is seeing it. We needed to address size. We lost, you know, Troy and Danny and all these other guys in the offseason. We needed Greg, and Greg is stepping up.
And so let's go back before Greg was a starter a little bit and kind of touch on what our lineup looked like without him. It was Otis, Kyer, Grayer, Boyd, and Marr. Marr never really playing the center position before, kind of playing out of position. You have a guard kind of playing out of position again. And then, you know, Calixt coming off the bench with AJ and Green. You put Calixt in, all of a sudden Boyd comes off the bench, can give you the kind of scoring production from your sixth man that you need. And then Greg has been our muscle. You've seen all season long, he hasn't backed down from anyone. When he had to guard Holloway, who's right now like suspended for the rest of the season.
350 pounds of, you know, but
he
yeah
handled that. I mean, you could tell. And also people try to push him around, he just flexes on him. You know, you got to like the toughness that he's brought our team. And not only that, but he's showing post moves. He's going up. He's giving up and unders. He has a drop step to him.
He's going scoring lefty. He's going righty. He's going all over the place. So I think we could all really appreciate what Greg's been doing and sort of the trajectory at which he's doing it. I mean, he's really just, you know, I mean, just again, looking at that game log, he's just exponentially getting better and better and better. So
I mean, even when he wasn't getting a ton of minutes, he was still getting 5 rebounds, 6 rebounds, 7 rebounds. Then you give him 20 plus minutes and he's grabbing 7 boards and 12 boards and scoring 10 plus points. Plus, you gotta remember, we have scorers on our team. Otis, Grayer, Kyer, Marr.
Right. I honestly can't say that I was expecting what we're getting right now from Greg this year. I think this the stats that we're seeing and sort of his playing time that we're seeing now, it was something that I honestly was looking at maybe in his sophomore year. But, you know, this is kind of like, I don't know. He's just kind of coming out of nowhere, and he's grabbing everyone's attention. I don't know. I'm super psyched for him. I know that your interview, you know, I just listened to it. Amazing stuff. Great insight on him, the team, even just him talking about other guys, Marr talking about Reuter. You know,
you can tell, and you'll hear this shortly, you can tell the continuity this team has. You can see the brotherhood.
They're a true
squad.
They're
hanging out. They're having fun. You know, they're going like shopping together, eating together. They're going on trips. He touches on, you know, stuff that he was doing in Mexico.
Well, let's let the people hear Greg, you know.
Here it is.
Okay, this is Brian of By George. I am here with Greg Calixt. Say what's up to your fans, and also let us know, do you have a nickname? We call you Cali on our podcast, but do you have a nickname that you go by?
Yeah, I have a nickname. It's funny that you call me Cali because my uncle calls me that, but I go by Big Haiti. Yeah, I got that as a freshman because we were on it was a playoff game and we won, and then it was a funny bus ride back, and then we were like rapping, and then like the seniors gave me that nickname, so I just stuck with it ever since.
So that's Big Haiti, and you got that in high school, or you got that here at Mason?
In high school, yeah, I got it in high school.
And so talk to me a little bit about high school, because you came from the high school that Sherrod Wright went to. Did you grow up watching him at all?
Yeah, I went to a Catholic school, so I haven't really watched my running a lot until I got into the feeder program. It's called Junior Knights, so I started playing with them in 7th and 8th grade, and that's what made me go to, like, Mount Vernon High School. So just when I knew that I was going there, I just did a little bit of history, and I know that Ben Gordon, you know, a lot of good players came out of there, so I was excited and just to go there and learn, and yeah.
And so we have another player coming from there this year. Tell us a little bit about him, and did you have anything to do in that recruiting process?
Yeah, he's a phenomenal shooter, so I'm looking forward to him coming here. Like, we played together in high school, and we enjoyed it. So, yeah, on his visit, showed him a good time. He really liked it here, and I'm pretty sure that's, like, a big reason why he's coming here, because him and his parents feel really comfortable with this school. So, yeah.
Does he have a nickname? Because he has, like, almost, like, three first names. Is there something that we should be calling him, too, or?
He likes to be called Soldier, because he's in love. He's not in love, but he loves Soldier Boy. So he goes by Soldier.
Now I mean you. Crank that Soldier. Now I mean you. Crank that Soldier. Now I mean you. Crank that Soldier. Now what?
Is Soldier Boy still even a thing? I mean, I thought that he died out, like, 6 years ago.
To him, to Jason, he's a thing. So he knows, like, all your songs and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's what he goes by.
And so you're coming from New York yourself. What brought you to Mason? And talk to us a little bit about the recruiting process for you, and what other schools were you talking to?
Mason came in fairly late. I had other schools like St. Bonaventure, a couple MAC schools, a couple A-10 schools. But Coach Kelly came to one of my playoff games. It was late in the season, and they really liked the game. And he told me, like, yeah, we really like you, and my coach, I'm going to have the head coach fly out. And he came the next day for our championship game, and that just said a lot to me. Like, they were really interested. And ever since then, like, Coach Paulson and the whole coaching staff, I just felt like I built a good relationship with them on and off the court. And they're just a great coaching staff, and they kept it honest with me, and that was something I was looking for the whole time. So yeah, I just felt that connection with them.
And so, you know, now you're here at Mason. Did you think that you had a chance to start? Now you've started 4 to 5 games straight. Talk to us a little bit about just kind of starting and the impact that you're having on the court.
Yeah, when I first came here, I didn't think I would start. I did not think I would start. We had Daniel here. We had a couple other bigs, but yeah, I've just been going hard and just working hard on my game in practice, and coming back and working out with Jared, which is a big help to why I'm playing like this now. So I'm just happy to start, and I'm just embracing the moment, and I'm just blessed that I'm starting. I'm just going to keep on working and trying to stay humble and keep on getting better.
And can you talk to us a little bit about Jared? I mean, we haven't gotten a lot of opportunity to see him play. We don't really get to watch practice, and he's not playing this year. So can you give the fans a little insight to his game?
He's big man. He could get to the rim at will. He scores. Like, he has a nice face-up game with a jumper, like a lot of different counter moves and stuff like that. So just little things that we work on and guarding him that I just pick up little by little, and it's helping me as a defender and as a scorer too. So yeah.
And what do you think, you know, just judging on, you know, I'm sure you just got out of watching film, what can you do better in game to give us better chance to win?
Just being that inside presence, continue to keep on stopping any post presence, protect the rim, getting rebounds, and even if I get on the other end, just to make a move and just to be comfortable and keep that motor like Coach Paulson wants me to. So, yeah.
And we've been doing this now for a couple of years, by George has, and we know that you really don't have that much off time. You guys are constantly either studying or at practice or traveling. But if you do get some off time, what are you doing around campus, and do you have a favorite spot to chill at and eat and stuff like that?
Oh yeah, on my off time between classes, or even when I'm bored or stuff, I'll be with Gunnar and Javon, and we'll just be walking around, probably go to the JC, be chilling there, get some food, you know, in between classes and stuff like that. So you'll probably find us there If not, we're just probably in our room playing 2K or like World War II. So yeah.
And what is your favorite spot to eat at?
Here on campus, I'm debating between Red Hot and Blue and Wing Zone. So yeah.
And I see, like, because you know, I follow some of you guys on Snapchat, and I see that you guys got some Gucci sliders. Were you part of that team too? Or
yeah, me, Justin, and Javon decided to get some Gucci flip flops to go to Cancun and stuff like that. So shit.
And how much did they cost?
They were $215.
$215 for some sliders.
Yeah, $215. It wasn't worth it, to be honest, but yeah.
So speaking of Cancun, do you have a story from Cancun, something that was just super funny, or just have you ever really traveled outside of, you know, to Mexico, or just give me, you know, just some of your memories from that time?
Some of my memories from Cancun was probably the 24/7 room service. We were just ordering whenever, like, they had some juice boxes. I forgot what the brand was called, but, like, they were so good. I would just call at, like, 10 o'clock at night, can I get, like, 10 juice boxes? So, yeah, that's probably the funnest moment. And just being with the team, like, we did a lot of stuff, like, go on the beach and stuff like that. So it was my first time in Mexico. So, yeah, I enjoyed it over here.
And I saw what you guys, you know, were recently on a road trip where you went from Rhode Island to Massachusetts. And I saw, maybe it was on New Year's Eve, you guys did a little karaoke. Yeah. What song did you sing, and who killed it the most?
I would say Zach killed it the most, but I sang Making My Way Downtown, Walking Fast, Faces Fast. Yeah, I sang that song. Yeah, Zach won the whole thing.
Oh, it was an actual competition?
Yeah, I guess. We had Bryson, who's at Brown now, but he voted at the end. So, yeah.
And so talk to me about, you know, just what do you, like, you know, it's tough right now in the season, taking some L's, but what can you tell the fans about their presence? And, you know, if you could tell them one thing to get them to show up, you know, what would it be?
Come to the game. We're just going to go our hardest and try to, like, you know, even if we win or lose, we're just trying to go our hardest and show you guys a good time. So every time you're at the game, it helps us a lot because it gives us momentum and stuff like that. So just continue to come to our games and stuff like that. We enjoy the fans and we need them just as much as anything else. So, yeah.
And do you promote yourself, like, on campus? Like, do you tell people in your classes to come to games and stuff like that?
Yeah, definitely. Like, around my classes and stuff like that, I would tell people, like, yeah, we have a game, to come show love and stuff like that. And people do, so, yeah.
And so when before the games, what music are you bumping? Like, one time I asked Otis, and he said, like, he was listening to, like, classical music. Your boy Kyer is, like, listening to some weird stuff. Are you just bumping rap, or do you go, you know, sideways with your music selection as well?
I have a playlist. I listen to a lot of, like, Migos, Drake, stuff like that. So a lot of, like, rap, hip-hop, stuff like that. So.
And do you like the new Travis Scott and who is it? Is it not Offset, but the Huncho Jack Huncho? Do you actually like that album? Have you listened to it yet?
No, I actually didn't. I was downloading it, but I didn't get to listen.
It's really not that tight. But if you can give me one song that gets you super fired up before a game, what is it?
Probably Do Not Disturb by Drake.
So I'm a big Drake fan too. I mean, he's constantly killing. If you go to his concerts, he's like, put every single song he does is a hit. It's pretty crazy. He's like the only artist you can see, like, you know every word to every song. But leave us with this. Who's the funniest guy on the team? And can you give us maybe something that they do that, you know, is super funny?
Funniest guy on the team. That's a hard question because we all have our moments when everybody's, like, super funny. But funniest guy on the team is probably – I'd probably have to give it to Gunnar. he just does a lot of stupid stuff sometimes. I'll just be in his room and, like, sometimes, like – He'll be playing the game, or when he's really locked in the game, I'll knock on his door. I'll just keep on knocking on his door, and then he wouldn't open it. And then, like, 5 minutes later, he'll come out, like, peeking through the door, and he'll finally show his face and stuff like that. But, yeah, he's a funny dude.
And I do see people try to test you sometimes on Snap, like, and you stay the enforcer. Is there anyone, like when wrestling and, like, getting after is there anyone on this team that can take you?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Hey, Greg, thanks so much. We're super proud. I mean, you know, if you look back to our some of our projections, we were talking about you getting a lot of minutes early on, and I'm glad to see you getting that playing time. And thank you so much for being on our show.
Thanks for having me.
Making my way downtown, walking fast, faces pass, and I'm homebound.
Big Haiti! The guy battles on the block, and he's actually kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoyed talking to him.
I legitimately would listen to a podcast featuring Big Haiti.
So what did you take away? Anything that stick to you from that interview?
I think first and foremost, again, like you alluded to the fact that, you know, this is a brotherhood. I like the fact that he's friends with Mar, friends with Green, fresh, you know, the whole freshman, you know, squad seems to be like a tight-knit group. I thought it was really funny that he spent all that money on those, what, Gucci sliders?
Right.
Right?
I mean, the team goes out and buys them together. You know, they rock them everywhere. They were, like, rocking them to parties. It's pretty funny. Well, another funny thing he said was that in Mexico, he was just, like, crushing juice boxes at 10 p.m. When I asked him, was there anything memorable, he's like, they could just call it a room service and get whatever they wanted. I thought he was going to say, like, steaks and fries.
Or maybe sneak a beer, but juice boxes? All right. I mean, right. Kudos. But
something that, you know, some insight that you can only get from listening to that interview was kind of his take on Rooter.
Right.
And one thing he said was he can kind of score from anywhere around the bucket, give you all sorts of different moves.
He's got a jump shot. He could do kind of whatever he wants.
And he's learning from him. He's learning how to play the post.
Yeah.
He said he could score in any way on him. It's teaching him good fundamentals on defense.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going against some nub in practice every day.
Right. This is an ACC. Rooter's what, 21, 22 years old? I mean, he's a man. So I think it's all valuable, and it probably is, you know, currently contributing to his play. I mean, obviously, I think that with him learning Paulson's system, practicing with Rooter, I mean, this is just, you know, it's obviously a reflection in his play. So that's one thing that I liked. And then another thing, I do like sort of this new recruiting pipeline that we're getting from Mount Vernon, obviously with Sherrod Wright, getting Greg, and then obviously Jason Douglas Stanley, three first names, Johnson. Either way, we obviously now have a New York pipeline, and it's currently feeding us a team, and it's good. I mean, no complaints.
I mean,
from
you said, you know, his parents felt comfortable with, you know, their son coming to Mason and being with a former teammate. And I think that's important. You want your players out there recruiting talent that they played with.
I think a lot of people would point to the New York area as having some of the better talent in America. And the fact that we have sort of guys that are bringing in other guys from, you know, the Mount Vernon program, that's huge.
Gordon played there?
Right.
I mean, you know, one thing I actually didn't know before talking to him, he's pretty charismatic. So, you know, like, I don't think we've really had that on the team in past years. Guys who are going to go out to their classmates and say, you better come to the game.
Right.
You know, and that's something he said he's already doing. I see between him and Javon Green, you just kind of see an energy, an attitude now on the team that I'm kind of embracing.
Something that I want to see next year. And another thing, speaking of next year and bringing it back to Rooter, what do you see Kalix doing next year with sort of sharing time, or maybe does he pivot to a four? Does Rooter play a four? Or what do we see a potential lineup next year? Because
I think it all depends on how Rooter can play away from the basket. If he can kind of be like, you know, it's kind of like it's like a better Marco. You know, Marco could hit the jumper, kind of could play your four while Siobhan was your five. Is that the kind of player Rooter is? I mean, he's not some huge guy. So,
but he uses his body. He's got low post moves.
Right.
And
so can they kind of balance off each other? I mean, we haven't really seen under Dave Paulson's offense too many like forward and center combinations that are both kind of big and burly. But it happens. It happens in basketball.
Will they be on the court together?
And can we impose our will?
Sure.
I think, you know, it's going to be hard. That's suggesting that AJ doesn't start. I think he's going to have to sooner or later. But, you know, does Mar continue to be your four man? I don't know. I think there's a lot of question marks.
Does Mar move to a three?
We don't know. That means Kyer's not playing. Either way, we got good problems on our hands, and
Kalix
is going to make it harder.
And kind of whenever I was looking ahead, I was like, all right, well, Kalix, you know, he'll sort of play this year, but maybe take a step back and sort of sit behind Rooter. hell, he's making a compelling case to be starting over Reuter.
Right. So we'll see. I mean, he's got to lose his job, essentially.
Yeah, essentially.
And he's earning it right now.
They took our jibs.
So, guys, if that didn't get you sized for Kalix, for Big Haiti, for Cali, I don't know what is. If it's not his play on the court, it's not as how awesome he was in that interview. I mean, the guy's a stud. And so, thanks for listening.
And tune back in, because we're dropping interviews all week long.
Yep. Tomorrow, I'm actually interviewing both Javon Green and AJ. We're doing our little Freshman 4 series. I hope you guys enjoy it.
Bye.
Tell them do it for the culture. Got to do it for the culture. Do it for the culture. Tell them do it for the culture. Do it for the culture. Got to do it for the culture. Do it for the culture. Can you see my people pray? Drive, cause we got bright stars. We gon' still fight for that race car. When you do right, that's cause you work hard. They gon' divide us all, that's when they fall apart. Tryna save the whole world, but it ain't my job.
No, it ain't my job.
They told me ride the whole way like I drive my car. Mama told me break out of these chains, son, and you gon' fall.
Do it for the culture.